Welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible number 183. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Welcome to a new week. How was your weekend? Have you taken your Christmas lights down yet? I took our outside lights down a couple of days ago, and the lovely lady Leanne is still working on packing up the interior decorations. She's got a lot more to do than I do. She always makes our house look like the North Pole from Disney's The Santa Claus movie. It's a tremendous amount of work, but she loves doing it, and it's fun. Today we'll read Joshua 10 from the Contemporary English Version. Let's begin. Joshua chapter 10. King Adonizedek of Jerusalem had heard that Joshua had captured and destroyed the town of Ai, and then killed its king as he had done in Jericho. He also learned that the Gibeonites had signed a peace treaty with Israel. This frightened Adonizedek and his people. They knew that Gibeon was a large town, as big as the towns that had kings, and even bigger than the town of Ai had been. And all of the men of Gibeon were warriors. So Adonizedek sent messages to the kings of the four other towns, King Hoham of Hebron, King Piram of Jarmuth, King Japhiah of Lachish, and King Deber of Eglon. The messages said, "The Gibeonites have signed a peace treaty with Joshua and the Israelites. Come and help me attack Gibeon." When these five Amorite kings called their armies together and attacked Gibeon, the Gibeonites sent a message to the Israelite camp at Gilgal. "Joshua, please come and rescue us. The Amorite kings from the hill country have joined together and are attacking us. We are your servants, so don't let us down. Please hurry." Joshua and his army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal. "Joshua," the Lord said, "don't be afraid of the Amorites. They will run away when you attack, and I will help you defeat them." Joshua marched all night from Gilgal to Gibeon and made a surprise attack on the Amorite camp. The Lord made the enemy panic, and the Israelites started killing them right and left. They chased the Amorite troops up to the road to Beth Horon and kept on killing them until they reached the towns of Azekah and Makeda. And while these troops were going down through Beth Horon Pass, the Lord made huge hailstones fall on them all the way to Azekah. More of the enemy soldiers died from the hail than from the Israelite weapons. The Lord was helping the Israelites defeat the Amorites that day. So about noon, Joshua prayed to the Lord loud enough for the Israelites to hear. "Our Lord, make the sun stop in the sky over Gibeon, and the moon stand still over Ajalon Valley." So the sun and the moon stopped and stood still until Israel defeated its enemies. This poem can be found in the Book of Jasher. The sun stood still and didn't go down for about a whole day. Never before and never since has the Lord done anything like that for someone who prayed. The Lord was really fighting for Israel. After the battle, Joshua and all the Israelites went back to their camp at Gilgal. While the enemy soldiers were running from the Israelites, the five enemy kings ran away and hid in a cave near Makeda. Joshua's soldiers told him, "The five kings have been found in a cave near Makeda." Joshua answered, "Roll some big stones over the mouth of the cave and leave a few soldiers to guard it. But you and everyone else must keep going after the enemy troops, because they will be safe if they reach their walled towns. Don't let them get away. The Lord our God is helping us get rid of them." So Joshua and the Israelites almost wiped out the enemy soldiers. Only a few safely reached their walled towns. The Israelite army returned to their camp at Makeda, where Joshua was waiting for them. No one around here dared say anything bad about the Israelites. Joshua told his soldiers, "Now move the rocks from the entrance to the cave and bring those five kings to me." The soldiers opened the entrance to the cave and brought out the kings of Jerusalem, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. After Joshua had called the army together, he forced the five kings to lie down on the ground. Then he called his officers forward and told them, "You fought these kings along with me, so put your feet on their necks." The officers did this, and Joshua continued, "Don't ever be afraid or discouraged. Be brave and strong. This is what the Lord will do to all your enemies." Joshua killed the five kings and told his men to hang each body on a tree. Then at sunset, he told some of his troops, "Take the bodies down and throw them into the cave where the kings were found. Cover the entrance to the cave with big rocks." Joshua's troops obeyed his orders, and those rocks are still there. Later that day, Joshua captured Makeda and killed its king and everyone else in the town, just as he had done at Jericho. Joshua and his army left Makeda and attacked the town of Libna. The Lord let them capture the town and its king, and they killed the king and everyone else, just as they had done at Jericho. Joshua then led his army to Lachish, and they set up camp around the town. They attacked, and the next day the Lord let them capture the town. They killed everyone as they had done at Libna. King Horam of Gezer arrived to help Lachish, but Joshua and his troops attacked and destroyed him and his army. From Lachish, Joshua took his troops to Eglon, where they set up camp surrounding the town. They attacked, captured it that same day, then killed everyone as they had done at Lachish. Joshua and his army left Eglon and attacked Hebron. They captured the town and the nearby villages, then killed everyone, including the king. They destroyed Hebron in the same way they had destroyed Eglon. Joshua and the Israelite army turned and attacked Debir. They captured the town and its nearby villages. Then they destroyed Debir and killed its king, together with everyone else, just as they had done with Hebron and Libna. Joshua captured every town in the land, in the central hill country and the foothills to the west, in the southern desert and the region that slopes down toward the Dead Sea. Wherever he captured a town, he would kill the king and everyone else, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. Joshua wiped out towns from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza, everywhere in the region of Goshen, and as far north as Gibeon. The Lord fought on Israel's side, so Joshua and the Israelite army were able to capture these kings and take their land. They fought one battle after another, then they went back to their camp at Gilgal after capturing all that land. May God bless the reading of His Word. Something that causes a lot of people to question God's justice is how He ordered the complete destruction of the people who occupied the Promised Land before He gave the land to His chosen people. In today's politically correct climate, where there's much said about tolerance and multiculturalism, it's hard to understand why God would require that every life should be taken. Well, I've got a couple of thoughts on this, as you might expect. In Deuteronomy 20, verses 16 through 18, we read, "In the cities of the nations the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, do not leave anything alive that breathes. Completely destroy them. The Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, as the Lord your God has commanded you. Otherwise, they will teach you to follow all the detestable things they do in worshiping their gods, and you will sin against the Lord your God." You see, God knew that if any were left, they would influence negatively His chosen people. Also, many of the things we read in the Old Testament are examples for our own individual lives today. When we become aware of even the slightest sin in our own lives, we need to be ruthless toward it and completely eradicate it. As far as we are humanly able, we must eliminate anything that could come between us and our God, our Savior, our King. A small sin today could one day bring destruction. The lesson from Joshua 10 is we must be ruthless against evil influences if we are to live a holy life pleasing to God. Now, before we go today, I'd like to take the opportunity to mention again my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. You heard several names today that we don't often hear, and my book has those names and about 7,400 more with every spelling from every English translation. So if you're a Bible study leader, a homeschool teacher, a pastor, a lectionary reader, or just a student of the Bible, and you're tired of stumbling over difficult Bible names or being embarrassed when you try to read them in public, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide is for you. And now is the time to pick up your copy because on February 1st, the price is going up. Right now, you can download your own copy at easybiblenamesguide.com for just $5.99. But on February 1st, 2015, the price is going up to $15.99. Everyone's been telling me that I've been giving this really great resource away for too low a price, and I've decided to listen to them. But I wanted to give you fair warning before the price goes up. head over to easybiblenamesguide.com and get yours today before the price goes up. Thanks for being with me today. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.